Hour number two of the Blitz on Fan Run Radio, broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, AM 1340, FM 105.7, on your free Fan Run Radio app, and on the Periscope. You see Charlie and mine and Charlie's bright and shining faces.
Yeah, now's one of your, not usually on the camera guys, so now's one of your chances to go see just really how good looking I am.
You can go see Charlie on the Periscope. Yeah, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Get yourself some White Claws for this weekend for Thanksgiving. Get you the some claws. Only 100 calories. They got the mango, the black cherry, lime, whatever you prefer. White Claw's got it for you.
Low carbs, low calories, high flavor.
Get you some White Claws and get ready for the Thanksgiving weekend and some football.
You're not going to have to drink them in sadness this weekend. You can just drink them and enjoy watching good teams play football.
You don't have to drink out of misery. You can just drink just a drink.
Oh, that's tough. It's real, real tough.
Hour number two of the Blitz on this Tuesday. Hour number one is in the books. Talked a lot about Tennessee football and basketball and all the news that came out yesterday that is COVID-related. Tennessee's game against Vanderbilt on Saturday canceled. Tennessee's game against Charlotte and VCU on Wednesday and Friday, respectively, both canceled. The Volunteer Classic canceled.
For what it's worth, the women's basketball season opener
canceled.
Also canceled. Their opponent canceled their season like 2 days before their opening game.
This is from David Sheely at WBR. Today in Knoxville Sports Review, UT basketball team members test positive for COVID-19, including head coach Rick Barnes. Volunteer Classic canceled. Lady Vols first game canceled after Florida A&M opts out of the season. Tennessee Vanderbilt football game postponed. Just insane. Level of insanity.
Such a tough way to start a week. I mean, it's going to be such a great week with Thanksgiving and all the good football and basketball starting up and just such a big blow. I mean, I was already dealing with the fact that we don't get Feast Week this year in college basketball.
No Maui. No Maui Invitational.
Instead, we have the Harris Maui Invitational. I think we have people playing out in Sioux Falls this
week. Yeah, there's some tournament up in South Dakota.
Hey, that arena in Sioux Falls, they normally host the Summit League tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice arena.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Summit League basketball.
Oh, yeah?
I like to watch my Jackrabbits play.
South Dakota Jackrabbits?
No, South Dakota State. No. South Dakota's the Coyotes, no. Mascot guy.
Excuse me.
Figured out.
But also, as back to Tennessee, this is from David Ubbin. This was yesterday after Barnes tested positive. So you get Barnes, who tested positive in isolation. Fulmer tested positive, what was that, last week?
That feels like a year ago. I guess that was just last week.
It's either last week or the week before. Fulmer tested positive and is isolating. And now, Charlie, Chancellor Dondi Plowman is isolating after being a close contact of someone who tested positive.
What have they been doing over there?
They've just been...
They having COVID parties?
Yeah,
like
what?
Like the Alabama frat boys had?
What happened
to...
So you
could get COVID first?
Are they going to get suspended? Remember they were threatening all the students?
Yeah, I think they gave up on that very quickly. Like, they suspended a couple kids early on, but then, like, I look at my Snapchat story every weekend. There are parties with absurd amounts of people. The bar, the strips, all, I mean, all that's crowded. But the COVID cases went way down because I think people just stopped getting tested, honestly, if we're being completely honest. But it's tough.
It is. It is tough. But, yeah, Tennessee will not be playing basketball tomorrow. And it is sad, as we opened the show with it. And Rick texted me. He said he agreed. most anticipated season that he can remember, and obviously that's...
I think part of that is because the football team let us down so much.
I would agree.
Because we've had COVID and, you know, everyone's been kind of down this year, that this was just everyone's saving grace.
I would agree.
The thing that everyone just put everything into.
Yeah, I mean, there are incredibly high expectations.
The Grant Williams senior year team, I mean, they would beat this year's team, you think? I think they would.
I don't know. We've not seen this team. I don't know what this team is. I don't know what they can be. I mean, if you're asking me to right now for an answer, I would probably say, yeah, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, and Lamonte Turner. And Kyle Alexander probably beat this team that we have this year. Like, obviously, your first six are better. But
you have,
like Bear was saying,
like 12 or 13.
12 or 13 guys.
It's absurd. I don't know how they're going to do rotations. And that's also another factor that kind of sucks about these cancellations, is that against Charlotte and to an extent against VCU, you were going to get a chance to test different rotations, you know, maybe get a lead and try some new lineups, see who's comfortable together, get some guys some playing time, and at least get a chance to figure things out before you have that marquee game against Gonzaga. But now you're going to have to base it all off of practice, and I think that means we'll probably go a little bit more veteran heavy against Gonzaga than maybe we would have.
If we even play that game.
If we play. Don't say if.
Well, you got to at this point.
I mean,
point.
You have to, but don't say it. Don't say it. And I guess there's also a chance that we might be missing players for that game. We don't even know if players have COVID or not, but the way the press release reads is somebody does, and yes, it could be a player.
Somebody besides Barnes. There are more positive tests besides just Rick Barnes. Just when you think things are about to turn around, and you just get the rug yanked right out from underneath you. It's frustrating. What do you do?
Well, what do you do? It's just preparing us, you know. The worse that we feel now, the better it's going to feel when good stuff happens. You know, you got to go through it, to the sadness and the pain and the suffering, to really experience pure euphoria and joy. It was like that when the Nationals won the World Series for me. All the pain and suffering they caused and their playoff choke jobs just made it like 1,000 times better. So I'm hoping that's going to happen with Tennessee one day.
So you were telling, and I agree with what you said earlier, and I was explaining to Phil, I would rather it happen now. And this happened now, and hopefully you can kind of get it out of the way and not have to worry about it again. But get it over with now and not in the middle of SEC play. Because, I mean,
that's what matters.
I mean, these games are important, and if we have to miss if the Gonzaga game does get canceled, then that's going to suck. But ultimately, the SEC schedule is what's going to matter. You got that game against Kansas mixed in there as well. And then, I mean, you just got to get yourself ready to go for March, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. That's what matters. Because, I mean, it's not going to be, at least unless there's just a complete and utter disaster, this team is going to make the tournament. So you've got to get yourself ready. And I'd rather it happen now than later in the year. Charlie, you were telling me that we actually have we've got some good games this week in college basketball, even though Tennessee's got canceled.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any volunteer football or volunteer basketball to watch this week, but it is a pretty solid slate of games in both leagues. I mean, starting Wednesday, you get some of those showcases and whatever else started. Unfortunately, a lot of the best games were canceled. Tennessee canceled. You had a ranked matchup with Baylor and Arizona State canceled. But, I mean, you still have some good games Wednesday night. UCLA and San Diego State,
yeah,
who was number one at one point, playing. You get Kentucky making their debut. And then you get into like Thursday and Friday. Thursday you get Kansas
there's
Gonzaga.
A really good game.
And then Friday you get Gonzaga and Auburn, St. Joe's in Kansas.
Florida Virginia should be good. Yeah, Florida, that one's postponed. Sorry. Oops. Got ahead of myself. That one's postponed.
And then this weekend you get Michigan State, Notre Dame, Baylor and Seton Hall, Houston and Texas Tech. So there's good basketball. Some of it got postponed, but there's going to be some good stuff to watch. And I personally love college basketball. I'm thrilled for this season, even though it's going to be a weird one. I think that it's shaping up to be a really good season. I think that there is no clear-cut, really good team, but there are a lot – or elite team, I guess, but there are a lot of good teams from 1 through 20. There are some really good teams.
Yeah, I'm excited for the basketball season. I hope it can. I mean, it's already been.
There's going to be bumps in the road, but
there are going to be bumps in the road, and
we'll pull through.
It's going to be harder to manage than football, just because you've got. I mean, you could have three games in 1 week.
Yeah, you have that going on. You have the refs situation. I mean, that's the Big Ten's done a good job. They've secured their own refs, and they're going to have backup refs, but. I mean, the smaller leagues can't really do that, and you know these refs will be traveling a lot too. And if you have, you could have games where, you know, a ref has a contact tracing incident or just something like that, and you're scrambling to try to find referees to get a game played too. We might have to call up some high school basketball referees just regionally, them ready.
I'm sure that'll be great.
They can't be worse, right? There are some bad college basketball refs.
Yeah, there are. Ugh. This is going to be a mess.
Then again, like I know some high school basketball refs, and that would not be good either.
Some of them aren't very good either. It really is going to be a tricky situation to kind of navigate this basketball season, isn't it?
We'll cross our fingers and cross our toes and I guess just see how it plays out.
I guess you're right. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break right here. Come back. Dive into a little, maybe look at a few of these NFL games coming up this weekend.
Big weekend.
See what's on the slate, Charlie. Mine and your, my Colts and your Titans for the AFC South on Sunday.
Sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my
11:17 back on the Blitz. Brandon and Charlie with you for about another, I don't know, 40 or so minutes. Getting you ready for John Reed, Cam Black, and Talk Sports. Little NFL, this week can get you set. We'll preview some of these games coming up. Last night had a good game. That one lived up to the hype.
That saved me. I needed the Rams bad.
You needed the Rams bad?
I got a little in too deep with the old Rams. So shout out to Tom Brady and his struggles in primetime games.
Well, I thought they were going to...
Sean McVay tried to give him that game. He coached a terrible second half.
Yeah, I didn't know what the Rams were doing. They kept throwing the ball and got the ball down the field, but just left too much time on the clock. And then I thought the Bucs were gonna have a chance to march down the field. Tom Brady, you know, lead him on the game winning drive in the fourth quarter. But that pass, that interception.
It's the nighttime, man. He's gotten too old. He can't play at night anymore.
Staying up too late?
But yeah, we just finished this NFL week, but this is our last show before Thanksgiving. We got another great weekend of games to talk about. And I don't know about you. I mean, we've talked about this already, but Thanksgiving, it truly just is the best. You know, you get to spend some time with your family, maybe play a little touch football in the yard, eat some delicious food, and then you just sit there. And you just watch football all day. And what more could you ask for? And
all day long.
This Thanksgiving is better than any I can remember because now, hey, we all have the FanDuel Sports app. I mean, my whole family does. We're just going to get to sit there and bet on all the games. It just makes the day so much better. And Hey, if you've never bet on FanDuel before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot because they're giving new users 25-1 odds boost.
Say it again, Charlie.
25-1. That's crazy on any NFL game Thanksgiving Day. That means that you can bet $5 and win $125.
Easy.
Easy. And that's any game. You want to bet the Texans versus the Lions, Washington versus Cowboys? You want to bet the Steelers and the Ravens? Well, pick one and you get an insane 25-1 odd boost. $5 to win $125. You are going to love FanDuel. I know we do. And offers like this are just one of the reasons that they are America's number one sports book app. I mean, they are just so easy to use that the app is just so easy to navigate. They're safe, they're secure, and here's a big kicker. You get fast payouts. It's easy to get paid. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. You know, they want to know. The FanDuel Sportsbook app, again, promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling or support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Get those bets in on Thanksgiving. Again, you got Texans, Lions, Washington, and Dallas, and Ravens, Steelers. So any of those games, you'll get that 25-1 odds boost.
I mean, they just do so many fantastic offers. It's been so much fun.
There are we got some pretty good games this weekend.
Out of those Thursday games, which one of those lines do you like the most? You got Houston -2.5. At the Lions, the Cowboys -3 hosting the Washington football team. And then the Steelers, despite the Ravens' recent struggles and the fact that two of their running backs have COVID, Steelers are 4.5-point favorites.
Which one do I like the most? I'm not sure. I kind of like the Steelers. I kind of think the Steelers are going to... I think they're going to win.
I think that one makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like this is one of those just gut check, like Ravens just pull something crazy off, backs against the wall, nobody's expecting anything from them, two running backs out, that they pull something off. I really like this Houston Texans -2.5 line at the Lions. I mean, I know the Texans suck, but something kind of clicked for them last week, and meanwhile, the Lions got shut out by statistically the worst defense in football against the Panthers. So, yeah, I think there's something there. I don't know.
So you like the Texans?
Texans -2.5, I think. I don't know if I'll be able to bring myself to bet on the Texans just because of my disdain towards them.
Fair enough.
But I don't know. Thanksgiving, we got a good slate. You have some pretty neat games on Sunday, obviously. Our two teams are facing off. Chargers-Bills should be fun just because of Justin Herbert's ability to keep every game close. Panthers-Vikings, both teams trying to not eliminate themselves yet.
Who do you think, just kind of, you brought up Justin Herbert. Who do you think's winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Well,
I mean, it was probably going to be Burrow.
Burrow, I think.
You think he
had
still wins
an
it?
Upper hand because he started from the beginning of the year, but Justin Herbert's been the better quarterback, and I actually I threw a little bit of money on FanDuel on Justin Herbert to win Rookie of the Year like an hour before Joe Burrow destroyed his knee. So sorry if I cursed you, Joe, but Herbert, I thought he was a bust. I said it on here a couple times just because of how much he struggled on that Oregon team last year. Especially with his accuracy and with his reads and just going through his progressions quickly, I didn't think he'd do that good of a job. And he has some good receivers. You know, he has Hunter Henry to throw to, a tight end, Keenan Allen, a borderline Hall of Famer, and Mike Williams. But I mean, he's made impressive throws, especially down the field. He's been precise in his decision-making, and his arm strength is something else. And I think now he's just going to run away with Rookie of the Year. James Robinson, the Jaguars running back, has been phenomenal this year. He's top five in the NFL in rushing and a pretty good threat, catching passes too. But that offense is really starting to struggle with Jake Luton now, and the Jaguars are just too bad where I think he just won't get serious consideration. But his name's worthy of throwing around too.
Any chance Joe Burrow still wins?
No, no, I don't think there's any chance. I mean, well, you still have six more games left.
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah, so
depending on.
I mean, that's just. It's just you can't win Rookie of the Year from a hospital bed.
Speedy recovery. I saw he. What was it? ACL, MCL,
and then structural damage. It was reportedly now worse than they initially thought, and they don't think he'll be ready for the start of 2021. Which
oh
is
man,
tough.
Oh man, you hate to see that. For Joe Burrow, and I mean, y'all know how successful he was last year at LSU and the national championship, goes number one overall, goes back to Ohio and kind of hometown kid playing for the Bengals. And I mean, they weren't great. I mean, it's still the Bengals. They were terrible last year, but I mean, I think they had made some pretty big improvements. And I mean, you had the quarterback, and I mean, you had something to build around, and then for him just to go down like that, it's tough.
They were playing competitive football week in and week out. I mean,
I was going to hit my parlay.
I was too, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, I was
I'm glad that you felt that pain.
Yeah.
Too. But, I mean, even last year, the Bengals, they were bad, but they were competitive for a while until the injuries hit them. Their point differential was pretty close to the first 5 weeks of last year, even though they lost all of them. And then this year, I had them as a sleeper team. I had them as a potential wild card, like slip into the wild card kind of team, because I expected their offensive line to make major upgrades, and they didn't. Because you got Jonah Williams, who missed all of last year, who was your first round pick the year before Burrow, come back. You signed an offensive lineman as well, but the offensive line has been the downfall of that team, and now they got their quarterback hurt, because they have a great group of receivers, and they sneakily have one of the best secondaries in football. Jesse Bates at safety is, I think, should be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. You have a really good cornerback, and I think it's like William Jackson III, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, they have everything you need to compete, besides an offensive and defensive line, which are obviously incredibly important, but they were playing good competitive football. So I think that they were a team I looked at to take a big jump next year if they could just add a couple more pieces to both sides of the line. But now, Joey B news, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't get him back, then, I mean, you're basically shot. Some other good games this weekend. You got Vegas and Atlanta. I think that's going to be a good game. The Raiders have kind of surprised me. I mean, they're a decent team. What are they now? Are they 6-4 now? They were 6-3 and then lost. Is that right?
The Raiders?
Yeah, 6-4. I feel like the Raiders are a team that can just kind of play with anybody. And, I mean, obviously beat the only team that have beat the Chiefs this year. But I kind of like the Raiders.
I haven't come around on them yet, and I don't really know why. I didn't like them to start the year, so I guess I've just not accepted the fact that they're much better than I thought. But the storyline coming into the year was, hey, does Marcus Mariota pull a Ryan Tannehill on Derek Carr? Well, Mariota ended up with a short stint on the IR, and now he's behind Nathan Peterman on the depth chart. And meanwhile, Derek Carr has played amazingly this year. Nelson Aguilar has seen a resurgence. I mean, Darren Waller is such a threat at tight end. And they have a defense that is prone to making some mistakes, but they're very aggressive in a physical defense, and they're pretty young too. This Raiders team is good.
I like the Raiders. I think they can, I mean, they're obviously in the mix for the playoffs, but I think they grab one of those wild card spots. The Rams, I did not realize until I just looked, but I mean, after that win last night, they are in first, tied for first place, but I guess with all the tiebreakers, they are in first. First place in the NFC West ahead of the Seahawks.
The Rams,
that defense,
are,
man.
Their defense wins football games. Jared Goff, I mean, he's not incredibly skilled, but he can do things well, especially when you get the play action going. And
Rams are hot.
The Rams run more play action than any team in the NFL, and you know, obviously Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, two really good receivers, they were insane last night. But that defense just—it's so hard to beat because you have a front with Aaron Donald that you have to give all your attention to, and you have a coverage that really plays complementary with that defensive front because Jalen Ramsey can take a lot of number one receivers out of the game. That's another guy that defensive player of the year should obviously be in the conversation. And when it comes to this NFC West race, the Rams are a nightmare matchup for the Seahawks. I think they'll probably end up sweeping the Seahawks just because the Seahawks defense is so bad.
They've not played. They played once.
And that Rams was won. When Russ threw like three picks and played terribly. Because the Seahawks defense is so bad, the teams are going to put up points. They're kind of like the Titans where they're going to have to beat you offensively. And when you run into one of those really good defenses, that forces the offense to play a nearly perfect game. It puts a lot more pressure on you. And the Rams should be looked at as a serious Super Bowl contender in my eyes.
Yeah, I think so too. And then also on Sunday Night Football, we've got Packers and Bears. I think this is finally the week where the Bears slip below 500 after starting 5-0.
Finally. I'm tired of having to watch football and see the in the hunt graphic.
5-1, excuse me.
See the in the hunt graphic and have to see the Chicago Bears there.
Not too much longer. I think after Sunday, they will no longer be there.
But
it's the last you'll have to see of the Bears. But the big game,
yeah,
Charlie.
The big game,
the
Brandon.
The big game, Charlie. Sunday, 1:00.
My Tennessee Titans. Your Indianapolis Colts. I have no idea how to feel about this game. I'm scared. I don't feel great.
I'm a little nervous. I mean, this one's for the division.
Pretty much, because, I mean, if you guys win, then you have a one-game lead and you have the tiebreaker. But if we win, we have a one-game lead and the tiebreaker with games still against the Jags, Lions, and Texans left.
Y'all have another tough game?
We have the Browns and the Packers as well.
Okay.
But the Browns haven't beat a team with a winning record, have a pretty tough point differential, and they just lost their number one corner now for multiple weeks in Denzel Ward. So, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this because we're the Titans, but not super worried about the Browns. But
that's
fair. This Colts team I am worried about.
Yeah, I don't know. They've really surprised me. I thought they would compete, maybe get in the wild card. But I mean, they've surprised me. Phillip Rivers has played. He struggled a little bit and to kind of start the year, but he's kind of, that offense has kind of started to figure it out. And if they can just stop holding.
That was hilarious.
If they can just stop.
That was one of the funniest sequences. Because I was trying to get to church.
It
and I was like,
so
this game will be over in plenty of time. And then the last 2 minutes took an hour. Because you guys hold on to everyone. You want to hold on to us Sunday? I'd appreciate it. But, yeah, I mean, this Colts play calling, I think, is what's really found a rhythm to me. They're not trying to take as many deep shots down the field. They're letting the run game set up, the play action set up, the short passing game. You're starting to get Michael Pittman in space more, which he operates well in space, and just get that quick passing game going. And it suits Phillip Rivers' skill set. I think it took a while maybe for the play calling and Phillip Rivers to really get comfortable with each other, especially because you had an abbreviated offseason. It's a nightmare matchup for the Titans, though. It's a banged-up Titans team with no offensive line left. I mean, you have Saffold, Ben Jones, and Nate Davis and Dennis Kelly And then we're down to our third string left tackle. Not good for against this Colts defensive front.
No. And they got some big uglies up there.
And then defensively for the Titans, well, we all know how non-existent their pass coverage is. We continuously like to go blitz 3, drop 8 in the zone.
Well, what about the special teams? Have you fixed the special teams in the 2 weeks since we played last?
Well, we didn't have any miscues this past weekend, which probably just means we're going to have double the miscues this weekend. Hey, we executed a fake punt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
The special teams, we have the worst in the NFL.
Maybe you got them shored up. Maybe you had a really poor week. You really worked on them in practice that week, got them shored up.
I sure hope so.
Now it's good to go.
You can't be losing games with your special teams, but I'm worried about trying to stop the quick passing attack because the game plan of the play calling just doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better, I guess, with Desmond King and Breon Borders off the practice squad has played really good since he's been promoted. But we just play guys 8 yards off the ball and then they just throw it quickly and we can't do anything about it. It doesn't make sense. And Phillip Rivers is going to be able to take advantage of that again, I'm confident. So it's going to just – you're going to have to get Tannehill going. You're going to have to get A.J. Brown to not drop 8 passes. And you're going to really have to get Derrick Henry rolling. But you know what season it is?
What season?
It's El Tractorcito season.
I'm sorry?
No, that's Derrick Henry's nickname.
El Tractorcito?
Yeah. He passed 1,000 yards already against the Ravens. We all know how great he is historically in November and December. And, you know, that game-winning overtime run really, I think, boom, set it off. Set off El Tractorcito season. So we'll see what you guys do about that. See what DeForest Buckner has to say.
We'll see. We'll see. Sunday, 1 o'clock, 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to get in. Got about 20 minutes or so left in the show. So hurry up. If you want to get in, give us a call, 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. You'll see the Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Anything like me, not being able to go to the gym has been rough over the last couple of months. Fortunately, I've got an alternative. The good folks at Galliner Spa have an array of treatments to get you looking your best again, including liposuction, cool sculpting, and now Body Tight. Using radio frequency energy to heat the target area, Body Tight melts away pesky fat and stimulates muscle growth. Schedule a virtual consultation now at www.GallagherPlasticSurgery.com. Toss those sweatpants out today and get right. Gallagher Plastic Surgery and Spa MD.
Jet's Pizza in Farragut is West Knoxville's home for great pizza, great drinks, and great sports watching. Bring the whole family for an affordable dining experience or head over to the bar to watch the game and take part in the best happy hour in town, featuring $2 and $3 pints daily from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. And don't forget half-price wings every Wednesday for dining customers from 5 to 10 p.m. Jet's Pizza on Kingston Pike in Farragut. Call 865-675-0505 to have it delivered.
Precision Lawn Services, Greater Knoxville's complete lawn maintenance provider. Offering mowing, weed control, fertilization, overseeding, general landscaping, and more. Precision Lawn Services committed to making your lawn complement your home or business. Your one-stop shop for lawn care and landscaping. Precision Lawn is the way to the greener side of grass. Call Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616. That's Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression that needs to be released, and we've got just the perfect way for you to do it. Throwing axes at Craft Axe Throwing. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville on 5th Avenue, Craft Axe Throwing offers beers, seltzers, TVs, and axe throwing, and is the absolute best way to spend an evening with friends. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. Plan your visit today at craftaxethrowing.com.
We'll be right back. that love was something I could never do. Never knew that I could feel
11:40. Brandon and Charlie with you on the Blitz. Tuesday edition, getting you ready for Thanksgiving and the weekend. This will be our last show of the week, as Rick and Chance have already headed out for their Thanksgiving plans. Charlie, you'll be heading out later today for your Thanksgiving travel arrangements. So today will be our last show of the week before Thanksgiving. So I want to tell all of you all, happy Thanksgiving. Thankful for the listeners. Appreciate y'all helping out and supporting us and always listening. College football this weekend. Not too many. I mean, there are two games on Thanksgiving Day. Nobody's going to be watching those. Except you, Charlie. You might be
watching.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
You might watch
those. I'll be watching those.
Colorado State and Air Force, New Mexico, Utah State, no one cares. There are some good games on Friday, though. Friday at noon, you've got Iowa State and Texas. That should be a good game. And then at 3:30 on Friday, you've got Notre Dame taking on number two Notre Dame taking on number 25 North Carolina.
It's an abbreviated rivalry week, baby. We got the Apple Cup got canceled, which is crushing. But
you know what else we got on Friday,
we
Charlie?
We got the Civil War.
The Civil War. You throw it all out when they play the Civil War, Charlie.
North Oregon, South Oregon, maybe. I don't know what their locations are.
I actually think
Corvallis.
I think they're pretty close.
Eugene. I think they're both. I think they're pretty close too.
I think they're both close to the western side of the state, but yeah, Ducks and Beavers.
I better see that chainsaw turnover chainsaw humming Saturday night or Friday night.
Is that Oregon State that has that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, speaking of late Pac-12 games, by the way.
Oh, and you also got the game.
Stanford and
Cal. 4:30.
We get the Backyard Brawl this week as well. No, you got UCF.
Do they still play the Backyard Brawl?
I don't think so.
I don't think it gets played anymore now that they're in different conferences.
Oh, that's tough.
You know, conference realignment and all.
But yeah, the Pac-12 out in California now is having to deal with new COVID regulations that has put a 10 p.m. curfew for gatherings.
So no Pac-12 after dark?
Not in California. The Pac-12 couldn't get an exemption. So now they're having to schedule all their games early that are in California.
The California games have to be played early?
Yeah, and like the rules state, like if there's a weather delay, if you get into overtime, if it starts at 10, or like as soon as it hits 10, no matter what, you just have to stop the game and it can't be resumed until 5 a.m. the next day. I mean, obviously they wouldn't do that early, but that's...
Well, to be fair, whenever I usually think Pac-12 after dark, I usually don't think of any California schools. Maybe Cal. Cal is like the only one.
I think of UCLA thrown in there.
Really?
I mean, I don't know.
When I think Pac-12 after dark, I'm thinking Oregon State and Washington State, maybe Arizona State. I don't know. I feel like the California schools, they usually try to get...
Oregon State always provides the best Pac-12 after dark, in my opinion.
Always.
Saturday, you got Maryland and Indiana, which could actually maybe be a good game. Maybe Indiana has a little bit of a letdown after coming up short against Ohio State, and Maryland's had a couple COVID weeks to prepare and looked pretty good the last two games. Kentucky, Florida.
Yeah, as far as the SEC goes, Kentucky, Florida, I would imagine Florida is going to beat the brakes off of them. But I thought the same thing last week with Florida and Vandy, and that was not the case. Vanderbilt and Missouri, that will be at noon on SEC Network. At 3:30, you've got the SEC Game of the Week. You've got the Iron Bowl. Alabama is a 24.5-point favorite in that one.
I wonder if that'll be a good game. I don't know if Tank Bigsby's going to play, because that could be pivotal, potentially.
I mean, I kind of think Alabama's just going to beat the brakes off of them.
I don't know. I feel like usually when Alabama is this much better than Auburn, Auburn at least gives
them... They do play them close.
A good 2.5, 3 quarters.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to cover the 24.5?
I feel like there's just going to be like 3 late touchdowns from Alabama that push it over.
Couple other games. You got the Egg Bowl.
I love the Egg Bowl. I love it dearly.
At 4 o'clock.
I hope we get an all-out brawl. I hope we get Mike Leach choking out Lane Kiffin.
The Egg Bowl is one you usually get on Thanksgiving night, though.
Correct. And I love watching the Egg Bowl Thanksgiving night. You also normally get a... Wait, no, never mind. That's the last week of the year. I was thinking Virginia Tech, but that's later.
LSU and A&M at 7 o'clock on ESPN, and then Georgia and South Carolina at 7:30 on SEC Network. That is your SEC slate. Another game of interest, maybe. ABC, noon game. Maybe a loser leaves town match. Loser leaves town match.
Oh, Penn State. Who's going to get fired first?
Penn State game? And Michigan. Two struggling teams face off in the Big House. The loser of this game has to get fired, right?
I mean, they're both going to get fired, but the loser definitely gets fired. If Penn State is 0-6, I mean, that's absurd.
How many games is the Big Ten playing? Eight.
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 Nothing would make me happier than Penn State not winning a game this year.
That would be pretty funny.
Penn State is the only team so far, knock on wood, that's just escaped COVID, it feels like, and the Big Ten, only for them to just play every week and lose every week.
It is kind of funny. Hate to see it for them.
Also, hey, prayers up to Pitt. Prayers up. They have to play Clemson this weekend. Clemson hasn't played since they lost to Notre Dame.
That's right. They haven't played in like 3 weeks.
Clemson is extra angry because Dabo is all kinds of fired up about Florida State. So you're going to get an angry, extra prepared Clemson team, all back healthy now.
Oh, and Trevor Lawrence is back.
Yeah, against this poor Pitt team. But a good chance for Kenny Trickett to help his NFL future, though. Prime matchup for him. Best of luck, Kenny.
But yeah, that's most of your big games there for your college football slate.
I just can't believe we're not getting Maction this week.
No Maction. You got to wait till Thursday for Colorado State and Air Force, Charlie. Final segment of the Blitz coming up next. We will wrap up the show, get you ready for Talk Sports coming up at noon right after this. Final segment of the Blitz on this Tuesday. Final segment brought to you by our friends over at Smarter Searches. Smarter Searches is an award-winning digital marketing agency that combines performance and creativity for incredible results. They're locally owned and operated, and they are Knoxville's top full-service digital marketing agency. Appearing on Google is essential in the success of your business, and Smarter Searches offers insight, strategy, and creativity to help you reach your goals. No matter the industry, Smarter Searches has you covered for all your SEO, web design, social media management, and PPC needs. Plus, there's no outsourcing. They do everything in-house. They help business transition to a more online-focused strategy in a contact-free, touchless world. So check out our friends over at Smarter Searches. And let them get to work for you. Charlie, final Brandon. Segment of the week for us, final show before Thanksgiving. We have a call?
No one picked up.
Gotcha. Just wanted to make sure. Last show before Thanksgiving, we've already discussed, love Thanksgiving, love the food, love to eat. I've got a map. Everybody's seen these maps. Most popular Thanksgiving side for each state. First, what's yours? Favorite Thanksgiving side?
That's tough. Oven-baked mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese?
but like a good oven baked
yeah.
one. Like home style.
It's good. I think mine has to be the dressing.
I mean, that's a good one, too.
It has to be the dressing. Mac and cheese is solid, but...
I feel like, yeah, dressing's a better option, maybe because it's more Thanksgiving-specific. Like, who just eats dressing on a random Tuesday night? But you might have some mac and cheese.
Yeah, you might have some mac and cheese, but, I mean, Thanksgiving is, or dressing is very specific to Thanksgiving. But even though, I mean, it's still... I love the dressing. Love the dressing. So we'll get into a few of these. Let's see. Looks like Tennessee's favorite side is sweet potato casserole.
The sweet potato casserole that y'all had Saturday was the best I ever had in my life. I don't know what y'all did to it, but...
I love sweet potato casserole. So Tennessee and Florida are sweet potato casserole. Let's see, we've got...
Tell me Maine's. I want to know Maine.
Maine, a side salad.
Jesus, Maine, figure it out!
Yeah, what are you doing?
Figure it out, Maine!
What are you
doing?
It
sounds like a California answer to me.
I know. I thought the same thing. I figured that would be, I figured that'd be like a West Coast thing with the salads, but nope. Let's see. Delaware, Maryland,
crab cakes.
Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia are all mac and cheese.
I bet Maryland puts crab in their mac and cheese though.
That sounds good.
It is pretty good.
Let's see.
What about Texas?
Texas green.
Theirs is just brisket.
This might be the most popular one, out there. The most common answer. It's either this or mashed potatoes. Green bean casserole is Texas, really? Arizona, New Mexico, Ohio, and Michigan, and Nebraska and Idaho.
Are there any weird ones out there besides side salad?
Not really. Most of them are pretty legit answers. Indiana's deviled eggs.
Oh.
Kansas and Iowa are corn and cream corn.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
That's all they eat. They don't even have turkey. They just have cream corn shaped like turkey.
Yeah, corn turkey. And then the most popular one, I think this is the most common answer, mashed potatoes for California, Nevada, Colorado, Washington, Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. And maybe one other. Connecticut. Mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes is the most common answer.
It's basic.
That's going to do it for us on this Tuesday again. It's our final show this week. Hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. For Charlie Collier, I'm Brandon Orr. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports coming up next.